Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Thursday, December 23rd, 2021. It is the 357th day of the year, and as always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives. Because once again, we're going to be here spending another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in learning to use some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free, which is part of why I call it so accessible. On the website at whyagain.org, if you go to that website, click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner. It will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years now to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click on the link, download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. Or you can go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you tap on that, it'll download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And that app has been updated and now has all kinds of new features, including the My Commitment tool and a link that lets you ask a question at any stage of the game. Tap that button and it'll let you send an email to Jeannie with your question. She will receive it, and then at the next opportunity, have Michael discuss that question on one of the internet shows and then send you a link to the archives of that show if you're not able to be there live when your question's being addressed. So all kinds of good stuff available absolutely free, and including links to all kinds of the curated shows from the past 11 years of doing this work on the internet radio show. These days they call it a podcast, but when we first started it, it was just an internet radio show. And archives of people who've actually been stepped through the worksheet process or who have gotten extensive questions in about how could a process this simple be this effective and powerful in their lives? And we encourage you to go use those archives, use it as a tutorial for how to use the worksheet or for understanding the process more deeply. And then give us a call, 563-999-3581. When you call that number and press 1, it lets me know that you're interested in talking, and I'll turn on the microphone and announce you by your area code. We'd be happy to have you give us a call, because when you do that, it makes it far easier for us to live into the intention with this work. The intention with this work is to be of service. And if you let me know how I might support you, it makes it easier to be of service. If not, we just got to guess. And we just keep talking about the primary issues and tools and hope it's useful. We're also doing the Course in Miracles workbook lessons this year. This is the 357th day of the year. And today's lesson simply reads, "Truth answers every call we make to the Creator. First it responds with miracles, and then it responds by returning unto us to be itself." So truth, the actuality of life, is miraculous. And if we hold the intention to see the truth, to see past the pettiness and the bitterness and the physical pain, etc., we start to see actual true perception and life as it is. And it's not that I'm going to call out like I would call to somebody in the next room, but I'm going to hold the intention to see life as it really is, to be in joy, to choose joy moment to moment. Yeah, I'm prompted to jump right over to the Course in Miracles experiment, lesson 357 from Pam Grout. She titles it, "A Multiple Choice of Perceptions, So Choose Wonderment." She quotes Alexander Graham Bell when he said, "What power is this? I can't say. I just know that it's there." Pam writes, "A few years ago at a workshop in British Columbia, I was spouting my normal controversial belief that joy is possible in every situation. Some of the workshop participants were not buying it. Oh yeah, what about this and what about that? One participant, whose father worked for an international corporation, told that group about her family's housekeeper in the Philippines. The housekeeper loved life with a deep and abiding joy. She found astonishment in everything. Her unabashed contentment and happiness provided a continual source of inspiration to the wealthy family who employed her. One day," Pam writes, "a tsunami or earthquake or typhoon," she says, "I don't remember the exact natural disaster, but one day a major weather event struck. The wealthy family fretted over hearing that their housekeeper's family had become swept away, completely obliterated in the storm. And then, when that housekeeper showed up for work the next week, they tiptoed around wondering how they could help. They fully expected her to be morose and sad and downtrodden, to have lost her unbridled enthusiasm for the beauty of each moment. But instead, the housekeeper said, 'Oh, we are having so much fun,' she said. 'My whole family, including all the aunts and uncles and cousins, were living together in the basement of a church. It's been so fantastic, all of us being together.'" Pam writes, "Say what? How is that even possible? How could she find joy in what most of us would rate as one of the top worst things that could ever happen? Stubborn gladness, my friends, is an internal decision. Life is sometimes going to throw curveballs, it's up to us to cultivate joy and find wonderment. Wonderment that, like air, always surrounds us. So I frequently ask people to choose joy. I frequently remind people that it is possible for them to choose joy. And that's today's Course in Miracles lesson. And the Pam Grout Course in Miracles experiment commentary. Choose joy. Choose the filter through which you will look upon your life moment to moment, and through which, by which, you create your experience of life, as is given in the Pam Grout story, exclusively, independently of the flow of energy around you. You could choose joy in every moment. You could find the thing or things that there are there to be grateful about in each moment. You don't have to. That's part of that choice business, that free will that so many religions talk about. And yet, you can. It is a possibility in each new present moment. And when I wake up to that possibility, when I'm instructed, when I go beyond instruction into practice, I have the potential to choose joy, to choose the positive interpretation of life each new present moment. I forget where I read this, but somebody said, I can't be grateful about every little thing that happens in my life, and yet every moment of life I can find something to be grateful for, even if it's just that I have the breath of life in me. And that's what we're here to help people do. We're here to help people learn about this power, this energy, this fueling energy of life that we, some call love, some call it God, some call it creation. We're here to help people understand that the energy of creation is literally responsible for your existence. It's flowing through you in each moment. And what you're doing in each new present moment is contributing to that flow of life and creative energy, and it is creating your experience of life. I had the pleasure this morning of interviewing Juan Lee. He's a veteran, and he's written a book on love, and he says he's been studying religions and love for 30 years, and he's trying to share the value of reframing your life so that you are consciously, now he doesn't use these words, but I shared with him that it sounds a lot like consciously co-creating rather than being an unconscious participant in the creative process. It's exactly what he's talking about. It's so similar to what we share in the MindShifter support groups and on MindShifter Radio, that you have been given dominion over your mind energy. You get to choose the focus of your conscious attention in each new present moment. And it is the focus of your conscious attention in each new present moment, which is that force that creates your experience of life. It doesn't just influence your experience of life. What you choose to focus your conscious awareness upon actually creates your experience of life. Here's a story from Pam Grout of a wealthy family in the Philippines who had a housekeeper. And And guess what happened? Their entire home was blown away. Their entire home was wiped off the map. Her choice to, as she was hunkered down in the basement of a church with her entire family and aunts and uncles and siblings and nieces and nephews, to just revel in the joy of how we're all together. In each new present moment, each one of us has that ability to choose the focus of our conscious awareness. And what we're doing in this work is putting out the call to people to wake up and realize how powerfully our choice of focus of attention actively creates our experience of life in each moment. It was fascinating to me how many similarities there were. He doesn't have the same vocabulary to talk about it. He doesn't have the same specific tools, but the author Juan Lee, was talking about how it's all of these things that we've been through in our lives that we carry around with us, and every time they get stirred up, they create our reaction to life. And it's our job to learn more and more about that, to learn more about the traumas and the beliefs that we've downloaded from them, so we can choose differently. And we can proactively work to be creating a better life experience for ourselves. And that's what we're hoping that people are choosing to do with these tools. These tools available absolutely free. They're available on the website, or they're available through the app. And if you go there, print that off, download it. If you have any questions about how to use that in your life, email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie Rice at jeanie@yagain.org. And we'd be happy to hear from you. We'd be happy to respond. We'd be happy to support you in using these tools to make your life better. That's why we've been doing this work. And we're about a month away from finishing our 11th year of the Internet Show. And it's in this year that I'll finish 18 years of doing one of the support groups one night a week. And 8 years of adding another. And donating my time to helping people discover and learn how to use these tools that have been so powerful in helping me improve the quality of my life and relationships. So our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you have a comment or a question, if you have a story to share, give us a call. Let us know how we can support you. 563-999-3581. I was spending some time this morning starting off again on the Tao Made Easy by Alan Cohen. As I've mentioned, that's one of several books that I listen to once or twice a year in rotation. And the thing that was standing out for me this morning is the idea of the gentleness of the Tao, the way, life. And when we are stuck struggling, we are probably not on the way, on the path. I'm trying to remember how they said it. At one point today, I believe it said, the things we call obstacles are not obstacles to the path or on the path. They are the path. Our life as it unfolds, as Way of Mastery says very clearly, there is no such thing as an ordinary moment. Your life, every little thing that happens throughout your life, every yawn, every stretch, every action of picking up a piece of trash off the floor, every decision to start a new friendship or relationship or change jobs, that, your everyday interactions with yourself and with others around you is the most perfect learning, teaching center you could ever be in. You don't need to march off to some Himalayan cave. You don't need to go to a 10-day silent retreat. You don't need to travel to another continent. Your very day-to-day life is going to be there to bring you many, many lessons. Everything that happens is an opportunity to learn. And one of the things I was getting from the Tao Made Easy book by Alan Cohen today was the concept that it's ease that produces the best results. It's not fighting. We've talked at different times on this show about Abraham Hicks. And the teachings from Abraham have been morphing and evolving over the years. And I remember a while back they were talking about how they had a whole segment, that whole theme of go with the flow. Go with the flow, go with the flow, go with the flow. And eventually, and they're very solid teachings, very much like the Tao Te Ching and the Tao Made Easy. And eventually they decided they needed to change the message they were sending because too many people were using it in a perverted way to sit around and do nothing and eat unhealthy food and or do various things that were poor for their health. In a fascinating way, the more I accept the flow of life and learn to go with the flow and do things with ease, the more active I become and the more I get done. And the Western mind just is boggled trying to make sense of that. How could this be? There's a Cohen that says, do nothing and nothing is left undone. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all to the Western mind. What do you mean, do nothing and nothing is left undone? Well, the Western mind is programmed to do things. Always be doing something. Be productive. You know, make a name for yourself. Be proactive, etc. And yet, there is other wisdom, even on the way, in the Western world, that says there's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And when, if and when you stumble across an idea whose time has come, you don't have to put a lot of effort into making that come to fruition. It's going to happen, and it's going to start amazing you and other people at how much gets done, how much synchronicity, as Jung would call it, weird coincidences, that just start to unfold as people settle in to the flow as they recognize, oh my gosh, this is an idea whose time has come. And I believe one of the examples he uses in the book is that after our last presidential election, there was a woman in one of the remote islands in Hawaii that, you know, there's such a long winding road into that town that there, when you get to that town, there's a gift shop and they sell T-shirts that said, I survived the road to this town. And there was a woman in that town who, after she learned about who had won the election back when the previous president won the election, so it was about 5 years ago now, as she went to bed, like 10 o'clock at night, 10:30, whatever, she put a post on Facebook, and it simply said, I think we should march. And she got up the next morning, and there were 10,000 likes. And that led to the largest known, in human history, the largest known protest. It was an idea whose time had come. She certainly didn't put her nose to the grindstone to make that happen. She just put it out there, and the next thing you know, because it's an idea whose time has come, because so many other minds resonated with it, millions of men, women, and children marched across the globe on different continents in many, many different countries. Effort? No effort. Do nothing, and nothing is left undone. Go with the flow. Align yourself with, as Way of Mastery would call it, the energy of creation. Way of Mastery calls it desire. Way of Mastery says, this very subtle and powerful energy drives everything about life and creation. And nothing would happen if there wasn't this energy of desire. So clearly, it's not the obsessing, it's not the craving, it's not the passion that I generate for one thing or another. The energy of desire is like the scent of, the smell of, the aroma of the Tao. It's like the echo of a wind chime that arises from the movement of the Tao, of the way of life, of the flow of creation. This desire that's being spoken of in Lesson 4 of the Way of Mastery is so subtle, and yet it is completely unstoppable. It's like the essence of the aroma of the creative energy that is created with them, the movement of that creative energy. And it arises within each of us, and each of us has the potential to learn to recognize it and to get more and more clear moment to moment about its presence, its awareness, and what it might want to express through us in each new present moment. And that is just anathema to the Western mind. What's one of the words that comes up? One of the next words that comes up is, if you become aware of this energy of creation, you learn to tune into it, you learn to hear the still small voice, you learn to interpret it accurately. What's one of the next words that comes up? Surrender. What happens in a Western mind when it hears the word surrender? It goes running, screaming out of the room. The Western mind doesn't understand that it is always surrendering to one thing or another. It's always surrendering to hostility and or fear and or sadness, or it's surrendering to this energy of creation. Some would call it love. Some would call it the flow of life. Some would call it the Tao. we are always being breathed. We are always being lived. We are always being lived through. We are being seen through. We are not, in an ultimate sense, the creator. We didn't initiate ourselves. We, as individuals, as this spark of awareness, we have the domain, some dominion over where we focus our conscious energy, our conscious thought energy, our mind energy, as Michael Rice calls it. However, we do not create the mind energy. We just get to direct it. So I can take my mind energy and turn it over here toward a set of very negative and upsetting and dramatic interpretations about the fact that the tsunami came through and wiped out my house. Or I can direct that same creative force of mind energy over to a positive interpretation that says how wonderful it is that everyone in my family survived, or the ones that did survive have survived and are able to live together and to spend quality time together. As I direct the flow of that mind energy, I create what is my experience of life in the moment. And I don't get to choose whether or not that flow of creative mind energy is on or off. It's always on. I get to choose what I point it towards. And as I point it towards positive thoughts and experiences or conclusions, my experience of life is created as a positive experience. When I point that flow of mind energy toward a neutral or a negative experience, I create a neutral or negative experience in my life in that moment. Every time I'm choosing a negative experience, a negative focus of my thoughts, it's one of two things. It's either happening as an automatic process because of the flow of life and the conditioning that I'm unaware of, or it's coming from, it's resonating from trauma and false beliefs about myself and the world around me that I've downloaded and carried with me into that moment. And if I don't understand what those traumas and false beliefs are, I can start uncovering them with the very specific tools of the Reality Management Worksheet, the EFT tapping, the Mind Shifter Targeted Journaling Tool, the Three Early Memories of Conflict, etc. Available absolutely free on the website at whyagain.org. And the more I uncover what my mind is fearful of looking at, the more direct access I get to those negative conclusions and traumatic energies, and the easier it is to apply these tools and dismantle them. And we're hoping that you'll take advantage of that, because it is the primary reason we're here. I say primary rather than the only reason we're here, because the other reason we're here is because we get the benefit. The longer we teach this work, the easier it gets for us to recognize when we are out of alignment with the truth of life, when we are misinterpreting life events as being bad or wrong or damaged, when the fact of the matter is life is just a flow of energy. And ancient wisdom has told us that nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Right? I changed the wording as I was reading the Pam Grout Course in Miracles experiment commentary for today, because it said, you know, I forget the name of the natural disaster. That was what Pam wrote. The fact of the matter is there's no such thing as a natural disaster. It's a natural flow of life. It's a natural event. It only becomes a disaster when human beings are around and they label it a disaster because they want life to unfold differently than it did in that moment. I just flashed on an issue. I forget. It's a lot of years ago now, but there's a major raft of forest fires that were going through Yellowstone. And man, in his and her great wisdom, decided they are going to stop this because this is going to ruin nature. A forest fire ruining nature. Nature ruining nature. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Well, years later, when people went through that part of Yellowstone, guess what the only indication there was of something dramatic happening? Because nature grew back in great abundance. It grew back and strong and green and lush and all that good stuff. Guess what was left? The ruts in the side of the hills and mountains that man created with bulldozers tearing up trees and shrubs and grass, trying to create a fire break, trying to stop the flow of creation. That's the only remaining sign of the forest fire from umpteen years ago. It's going to take longer for nature to grow over and hide the damage that humans did, thinking they were going to be of help. The flow of life is just the flow of life. There is no such thing as a natural disaster. A disaster is a word that humans have created. There is no disaster in creation. There is just the flow of energy, flow of life, flow of love. Creation extending and expressing itself. So, when you have a negative thought or emotion, you might be interested to know that you're creating that. And the first step in creating your negative thought or emotion is a rejection of the flow of life, is rejecting what is. I don't want the flow of life to be what the flow of life is in this moment. There's the beginning of pain and fear and sadness on my part. I don't have to stay stuck there. Unless I'm completely unaware that that's what initiated my pain or my fear or my sadness. But when I wake up and I realize that I am the architect, I am the general contractor, I am the bricklayer, I am the laborer, I am the carpenter constructing my emotional state in each new present moment, once I wake up to that, then if I don't like the emotional state I've created, I can step into the use, the active use of specific tools to create anew, to be conscious of what I'm creating. I had a person in my office last night who had a 17-year-old dog that she had to put down the night before. She'd had this dog for 17 years. Loved it. They treat their dogs like their children. She has two human children as well, but she's had a series of dogs over the years, and this is the one she's had the longest. And it was a small dog, and they went through all kinds of medical treatments, and they intimately got connected to this dog and caring for this dog. And the night before last, she and her husband decided this isn't The dog is now suffering. It's time to put her to sleep. So she was in my office, very sad, crying through every time the topic came up in the session, crying. And if you've listened much to the Mind Shifters Radio or to my talks on this show, you will probably not be surprised to find out I didn't try and change her sadness. I didn't tell her to cheer up. I didn't tell her to stop crying. I didn't start talking to her about all the good memories with that dog, because she doesn't want that. She wants to be aware of and in direct connection to her sadness and some of her negative thoughts. And she knows all about focusing on the joy and having the good memories. But this is just so raw, so close, so near the event that she just wanted to be in touch with her sadness. And she already understood how she was creating it by focusing on how she second or third guessing each of the steps she took with the veterinarian and with the medications and with the scans, and could they have done this or that. And she just wanted to go through that. The end result is going to be, and she knows, she could tell you herself, she knows when she's done, she's going to look back and see that she did all she could. And when she's done, she'll start reliving the joyful memories and the gratitude for having had 17 years with this family member. And yet, last night, she just wanted the space to be in and feel deeply the sadness. So there's no despair in that sadness. There's no panic in that sadness. There's no thought that she'll never get over that sadness. Because she's done this kind of work, she understands she's creating that sadness. And it's okay. She's creating that intense emotional experience, and it's okay. At some level, she may not even call it sadness. She might just call it that intense emotion. I remember I've shared this before. I remember I was in my office once, and I had a gentleman say he was he was closer to 70 than 60 years old. I forget his exact age, but he said, every time I think about my friend, I have this intense sadness. And I said, well, I'd be happy to help you work through a worksheet to dismantle that. And he goes, I don't want to get dismantle that. And I said, well, okay. Maybe what you mean by sadness is not what I mean by sadness. He said, why do you say that? I said, well, what I mean when I use the word sadness is an intense negative emotional experience that I want to get rid of as soon as I can. And he said, no, that's not it. I said, okay, what do you mean when you use that word sadness? He said, well, when I say this, I feel sadness. What I mean is, every time I think about this friend who died, I have these intense waves of energy and deeply felt emotions of connection. And my eyes water and I cry a little bit. And I said, oh, okay, well, I wouldn't want to help you dismantle that at all. That sounds like, you know, a lovely thing to be able to tap into whenever you want to. So the definition of the word is important. Maybe people would want to refute or argue against my observation that I create my emotions in each new present moment. And I do that with what I'm choosing to focus my conscious awareness upon. Maybe they have a whole different definition for the word emotion. maybe they are not very well practiced at experiencing their emotions and having confidence that whatever that energy flow is perfectly safe for them to see, to feel, to live through. And so maybe there's a definition to be explored that's different from one of us to the other. But if you're having a negative thought, a recurring negative thought, or a negative emotion about yourself or somebody else, and you're not comfortable with it, Michael and Jeannie Rice are offering specific tools absolutely free at whyagain.org, and we would be happy to help you learn about those tools and learn how to apply them directly in your life to improve your life quality, moment to moment, one situation at a time, one life event at a time, one reality management worksheet at a time. whyagain.org. Go to that website, click on the Start Here link, or give us a call right now at 563-999-3581 and press 1. And it'll show me that you have a comment or a question you would like to share or explore. Alternatively, you can send me an email if you're listening to this in the archives. My email address is tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And I would be happy to entertain your comments or questions, discuss them the next time I'm on an internet show, and then send you the link to how you can access that through the archives if you're not able to listen live. We've got about 10 minutes left on this Christmas Eve Eve, the day before Christmas Eve, 2021. How can we support you? What's on your mind? What comments or questions do you have you'd like to share with us, or answers? Or perhaps there's a favorite poem you'd like to read. 563-999-3581. When we were listening to the Alan Cohen teaching on Tuesday night in the group, he got to the point about what is your identity and getting people to understand that their identity is actually very, very different than anything specific to their height and weight and gender and bank account and geographic location. Your identity is this essence of creation expressing in form, that you are part of the God force expressing in life. It's what Joseph S. Benner writes about in his book, An Impersonal Life. He says, there's no true human thought actively happening in a human mind until after that human being wakes up and realizes that he or she is experiencing the one divine mind that's experiencing life through their physical body. That there is this gift of life. There is this spark of light or soul that is impersonal. That's the title of the book, The Impersonal Life. That until you wake up to realize that you are not the small identity that you, Tim Hayes, living in Illinois, you know, degree in psychology, until I wake up and realize that's not the essence of who I am, there is no actual thought happening. Because what's happening is my mind is spinning out all of these things I call thought, which are just echoes of the conditioning that I've been through in my life. Because I started out, you know, after I popped out of my mom, I started out as this crying, whining, eating, you know, peeing, pooping machine. I didn't have any language. I didn't have any awareness of the world around me that I could, you know, communicate to another being. And everything about my language, my ability to comprehend myself, my ability to communicate with others has been programmed into me. And so unless I awaken to the awareness that there's a creative force that's far more powerful and expansive than my conscious logical mind, unless I wake up to that, the only thing that comes out of me is this mechanical spinning of thought, what Guy Finley calls a mechanical level of consciousness, the hamster wheel of thought. You, as an essence, are far more than what you call your physical body. So Alan Cohen was talking about that, and it made me tap into the memory of, in Lesson 4 in Way of Mastery, it says, when someone next asks you, who are you? Please don't give them a name. Do not say, well, I was born in a certain town on a certain part of the planet. Do not tell them that you are a Democrat or a Republican or a communist or an atheist or a Catholic. Instead, tell them the truth. Who am I? I am the extension of love in form. I have never been born. I will never taste death. I am infinite and eternal. I shine forth as a sunbeam to the sun. I am the effect of God's love. I am the effect of creation expressing in form as love. And I stand before you to extend that love to you. The book then goes on to say, now that will raise some eyebrows. It will also transform your world. It might just be time for you to stop seeking an answer, God, Christ, love, outside of yourself, and start choosing to take responsibility for birthing that awareness of the Christ mind inside yourself, to incarnate as a conscious co-creator in life, as a part of the one mind, aware of itself and its true nature. That is what's possible the more I use specific tools like the Reality Management Worksheet or the EFT Tapping or the MindShifter Targeted Journaling Tool, to take responsibility for and actively dismantle anything that generates a negative mind state, a negative cognitive, mental, emotional experience. The more I dismantle those, the more I take responsibility for being a part of the co-creation of them and then dismantle them, the more clearly and directly I get to see, feel, and experience myself as that extension of love in form, as a part of this flow of life, not separate from anyone or anything, connected to all that is and all that expresses around me. That's what we're hoping, that's what we're offering, that's what we're inviting people to do, to join us in this process, and to actively pick up and use the tools that make that possible each new present moment. We have about 5 minutes left for any comments or questions. 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, I'll see a little icon of a hand waving and click on it and announce you by your area code. How can we support you on this Thursday approaching noon here in the Midwest? Five six three nine 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 three five eight one. As I mentioned yesterday, there will not be the first hour of shows next week. I will be back doing shows again on January 3rd. But next week, as a week, I will be spending with family and friends and not doing therapy with people and not doing support groups and not doing internet shows, just what I think people call it a vacation. I think that's what they call it. It's been a while. I haven't heard that word in a while with all the coronavirus restrictions and everything else. But so I do plan to be here tomorrow, and then I will be off for a week. And if there's anything we can do to add to your life and make your life and your relationships with friends and family more loving, let us know about that. Michael and Jeannie should be on here in a few minutes to do another hour of the show. If you're thinking about family gatherings with fear or trepidation, these tools might be extraordinarily useful. If you know how to apply them, please do. If you don't know how to apply them, just ask. And we will be happy to instruct and support and co-create with you solutions for a better life. Again, I will remind us that Alan Cohen, as a teacher, is very gentle, very well-versed in a lot of different spiritual teachings, great familiarity with the Tao Te Ching and the Course in Miracles and a host of other teachers and philosophies. So if you're interested in something that you might pick up to read or you might listen to on Audible, I can highly recommend either The Course in Miracles Made Easy by Alan Cohen or The Tao Made Easy by Alan Cohen. And these are clear, gentle, respectful. I think in one of his intros he said that he has discovered that he has a knack, an ability for being able to describe very highly complex dynamics and situations in a very simple, easy-to-understand way. So that's part of his living his life and improving his life is to living into his reason for being, creating a purpose in his life, is to use that gift to keep going at complex or difficult topics and doing everything he can to make them understandable to more and more people. And I think he's succeeded brilliantly at that quest in both the book, The Course in Miracles Made Easy, and The Tao Made Easy. So I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tam. Appreciate you. We had a little drama yesterday. They told us to come pick up Dad at 4 o'clock from the hospital, and we got there, and he couldn't even stand. He's so weak, he couldn't stand up or walk or do anything, and there's no way we could bring him home in that shape. So they readmitted him, and they're going to try to get him in rehab. So we will see what happens.
All right. Well, blessings, and have a wonderful show, and good
Thank
luck
you.
With all the health for you and the entire family.
Thank you. Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Thursday, December the 23rd, 2021, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. Give Michael a moment to get dialed in. And as always, I'll direct you to our website, whyagain.org. Hopefully everything has been squared away on that now. If you run into something, please drop me a line. I promised Susan I wouldn't work on the website anymore until I got my brain back. It's what they call brain fog. It's evidently a symptom of COVID. And so it definitely leaves you in a different space. So I told her I wouldn't do anything else on the website until I got my brain back. So if you find anything that's really screwy, please drop me a line at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, and let me know so that we can get it squared away. If you haven't downloaded or updated the app yet on your phone, please do so. It is tremendously much different. We've added so many different things on it. You can access our schedule of events. You can access a more page, which has all kinds of links. You can access the radio show from there. You can ask questions from any page in the app. And so we really think that it's moved a whole leap forward. So if you haven't updated or downloaded it, please do so. It's Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness App. Welcome, Michael.
And pass it on to somebody else. Let somebody else know that it's out there and offer them the support of really tapping into that forgiveness process. It just keeps amazing me every time I see how fooled the world has been. I recently joined a very intellectual group on Facebook, a group of people who considers themselves, my take would be, considers themselves to be superior to the average and has things figured out in a way that nobody else does. And it's just been amazing. I've been, you know, just flipping through the posts. And this particular group of people, without naming them, considers themselves to be service-oriented. They work in different places in the world, quote-unquote, saving lives, lives like theirs, people who believe like them. And I just am amazed. This, I mean, several of the people in the group are authors. And the amount of anger, the amount of fear, the amount of denial and projection that's played out is just astounding. One of them put in their definition of their philosophy. And it included, you know, doing service in the world and things like service, those sorts of, and the word love was missing. So I just posted saying, gee, it's surprising that the word love is missing from your definition. This guy just puked all over me. What's wrong with me for criticizing? I didn't criticize. All I said is I'm just kind of surprised that, you know, the word love is missing from your definition of yourself as a group of people. And after three or four interactions in that regard, it just blocked me totally. It's like, okay. In any event, it amazes me how our human minds can turn our hostility, our rage, our guilt, our fear, our unresolved traumas into a whole world of pictures that find somebody else to blame for the fact that, you know, I'm in this situation. Can we grow up and take responsibility for the fact that we're in the situations that we're in? And you know, Richard's, you know, we've been reading from the final chapter, and why is this happening to me again? And Richard, the character in the book, has just acknowledged how he's sabotaged his whole life with his own hostility and fear. And that's what people do without realizing it. And so the objective with this work is to create a way of explaining that helps people to build the brain cells to realize what they're doing to themselves. And then to, as gently as possible, present a set of tools for working through that blame game. And, you know, if you realize that you come from 100 generations of blamers, one insight into, oh, I'm responsible, isn't going to change the game. It's going to take conscious, constant, to shift the mind around from its way of seeing to where it realizes what it's been doing to itself. And there's just, in my awareness, 50 years of developing this work, there's just no genius on planet Earth that even comes close to matching what this man Yeshua developed 2,000 years ago. I wish it were mine. I wish I had developed it. It's not, and I didn't. I fortunately, through my own insanity, stuck to it. Excuse me. It was a little bit of it was a push from the universe, and some of it was my own choice. If it all had relied on me choosing to do it, I'd have never done it. But nudges here and there from the universe kind of, you know, pushed me into a place where, well, this seemed like the logical thing to do until this became my full-time occupation. But realizing the core problem is perception. Course in Miracles, very powerful, profoundly powerful line. Perception is a skill made up by us to take the place of what the Creator gave us in creation. And that means that if we're living in a world of perception, every time we find ourselves in a difficult situation, it's because of our own self-sabotage, as Richard has just realized here in step 9 of the worksheet. And when the awareness of that starts to open, without knowledge that breath is key, the breath shuts down, and people just dive back down into that unconsciousness. So we're here with the reminder to breathe and to recognize that everything that can cause you to feel is inside of you. I mean, short of somebody punching you in the nose, cancel the thought. Most people aren't being punched around every day, and therefore, they're in pain because of the fists hitting them, or at least that appears that way. Most people are in pain because they say things like, you made me mad. You hurt me. Somebody said something, and that really upset me. They just hurt this guy that I posted to. All I said was, gee, I'm kind of surprised the word love is missing from your post, from your definition of yourselves as a group. And he got so peeved, he just totally, completely wiped me from the post, I mean, removed my posts and blocked me. And I'm sure he went away thinking I was so terrible. I was the cause of his pain. Another gentleman had asked a question. I posted a video in his body. He says, I don't watch videos. I said, oh, that's fine. Just offer it. And you might want to watch it. There might be something in it for you. He comes back with, you know, the more you say that, the more you post like that, the less I like you. It's like, what's there to like or not like? I invited you to watch a video. It's free. It's cost you nothing. Well, I don't watch videos because 9 out of 10 of them are a waste of time. So I posted back and said, well, this one might be the 10th one. Give it a shot. And his next post was, oh, my God, I've watched your videos in the past. They're awesome, especially your stuff on perception. Thank you. 2 minutes later, he's telling me about how he doesn't like me because of my posts. And this is, you know, when we recognize that this is all an inside job, and when our perceptual constructs, you know, I haven't, it's a story I haven't told in a long time. It's one of Jeannie's favorite stories. She'll probably cough on the phone in a minute or so. But it's a story about the little old lady that loves movies. And there's a new movie coming out, and she heads to the movie theater early. She's going to get a front row seat, and it turns out there's all kinds of traffic. She gets stuck in traffic. She gets there late. She gets stuck in the last row in the theater. And in front of her, there's this couple. And they're just laughing back and forth. This little lady's kind of hard of hearing. She doesn't see very well. You know, they're big, she's small, and finally in her frustration, this girl's laughing away and she's having trouble hearing. She kind of taps her on the shoulder rather briskly. Lady, are you feeling hysterical? And the girl kind of turns around, looks at her sheepishly, and finally says, well, he was feeling mine first. The truth is, you can't feel anybody else's. Again, short of somebody punching you in the nose, and if somebody shows up to punch you in the nose, there's a part of you that invited and cooperated with that. You're involved in your life. But short of that, all the times we go, that made me mad, that made me sad, that hurt me, that upset me, that disturbed me, they, we're in this blame game. And blame means that I have to dissociate from the truth in my own mind in order to blame somebody else for what I'm feeling. When I actually start to take responsibility, then I can gradually open this thing that was called the unconscious, and I can gradually work through everything in my unconscious that is unlike love. And then, as I bring correction to the content of my mind, I bring correction to my perception. So now this world that I made up to take the place of what the Creator gave me in the creation starts to at least come into harmony with the truth of what the Creator gave us in creation. And when it does, my perceptual constructs become a stepping stone into directly experiencing the world that the Creator offered to us. And that's the ultimate bottom line of this work, is to create a bridge for people to get back to the truth. To get back to the truth of who they are as love, and to get back to the truth of if I'm feeling anything that's less than love and blaming the world for it, I have a problem. I'm in denial, and I'm dissociating from the cause of my own pain and putting it into my brain's image of others. And then when I realize that forgiveness collapses that whole perceptual construct and gives me access to the direct truth, then I realize I've got a tool with which to change everything. And we're committed to making that tool available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. That's what we're here to do. So we hope you receive it. We hope you pass it on. If it's benefited you, support us. I know with the fact that we've stopped traveling, Jeannie's dad became ill and couldn't live on his own, so we made a judgment call that rather than a nursing home, we would be here with him and be here to raise our granddaughter. Things have changed significantly. You'll notice we don't have any commercials on this show. We pay to do the show. We don't get paid to do the show. And if it benefits you, then we invite you to consider, you know, dropping a donation. Go to our website, whyagain.org. Excuse me. You can do a one-time donation, $1, $5, $5,000, $500,000, whatever. You can do it monthly, if you choose to support it, and if you're not in a position to, then at least support us by passing it along to someone else and making this available, getting us to the point of critical mass. So our character Richard has just realized that he's the one who sabotaged his whole life. And so I invite him as that insight comes, because anyone who sees that is instantly going to shut down their breath And I remind him to keep his breath open. You still have lots of life left. Let's tie what just came to the surface back to some of our earlier circumstances and discussions. Recall you said the women in your life were warm and loving at first, and then they became distant. I realize your thoughts made it look like it was them, but was that projection? Notice your thoughts earlier were that they changed, that they became distant. It sounds like it is you who becomes distant and blames it on them. Richard swelled with emotion again. If I can't believe, I just can't believe what I've done, and I beat everyone up for what I've been doing to them all my life. I don't know if I can handle this. This is a real crisis moment for people when they realize that everything they've been blaming everyone else for is exactly what they've been doing. So it's all done with smoke and mirrors. And that's a time to be gentle with yourself. Because the only reason you're doing it is because it was done to you. You know, it's a power person dynamic. It gets passed from generation to generation to generation. You know, look at that ancient scriptural dictate that says, look to the lives of the fathers, for ours are but a shadow of theirs upon the earth. It takes work. It takes time. It takes tools, effective tools, to change that dynamic within our own minds. There is nothing to handle. True forgiveness is not something you do. You simply open the door, and if you allow it to remain open, love does the rest. Just breathe, and the energy will move. Remember, healing happens. Several moments passed as Richard went through waves of emotion. What do I do with all these feelings? Just be with them. It's safe to feel everything inside of you. Your job is to open the door and hold the space. And let me just share at this moment that, you know, I go back. I can remember the moment at which I understood what healing, what facilitated healing. And I had been doing this work for a couple of decades, 2.5 decades or so, and wondering why. You know, I'd do a workshop and there'd be 50 people in it. And 2 or 3 people would get monumental breakthroughs. 2 or 3 people would get some good insights. 12 people would go, wow, that was good. That's going to really work in my life. And the rest of them were just kind of like, well, yeah, so. And it became a quest for me. It's like, What is the bottom line? How does this thing called healing happen? And what became clear to me was that, one, conscious, active, present love had to be awake and actually present in the space. Now, I'm not talking about love, the definition in this culture of sexual athletics or self-sacrifice or that. I mean the fact of us being love. That being that we are, or the being of someone in the room, had to be awake and in the space as active love. And then, whatever peeked its head out from the unconscious, whatever generational dynamics, whatever hate, whatever rage, whatever vengeance, whatever grief was in hiding, if we could open that veil of the temple, you know, when they said the veil of the temple must be rent in twain, they weren't talking about a purple curtain in the church. They were talking about the barrier between the subconscious and the unconscious mind. Open that veil. And love is present. It's not something you do. It's a space you be in. And the presence of love dissolves, transmutes whatever peaks its head up. And that's the core of healing. And I don't care what the healing is that's needed. Think about one young man who Actually, he's working on a book on his healing experience. He was in the computer world. He was a computer tech. He started to do this work because he had such excruciating back pain that for days he would have to lay in bed on his back. He couldn't move and couldn't get up. And he was just a couple of days away from a major back surgery when the key worksheet of his life came to awareness, and he did it, and he got up out of bed and put an end to, I don't even remember exactly what quantity, but, you know, 70 or 80% of his back pain, and continued to do this work. And never ended up flat on his back again in such excruciating back pain. And in fact, now is a healer, a massage therapist that, you know, teaches people how to bring healing. So it's not a skill you need to learn. It is a process for you to do, to practice being connected to active present love, to practice recognizing yourself and living as active present love, and then opening the veil of your temple so that whatever's in there, whatever generational dynamic, whatever rage or fear or guilt or grief or drama, whatever it is allowed to surface. And when it surfaces, it's not going to be Dr. Feelgood, but if you stay focused on and hold to the active presence of love, then that which is being allowed, and it's a live process, that which is being allowed to surface in the presence of love, as we've just said to Richard, literally dissolves, dissipates. It becomes a non-issue in your life. So what do I do with all these feelings? Just be with them. It's safe to feel everything inside of you. Your job is to open the door and hold the space. Think of our earlier definition of processing. It is the capacity to hold love conscious, active, and present when anything less than love surfaces. By choosing to honor truth, you've gotten in touch with some of the issues that your mind hides. You open the space for that to happen when you canceled or forgave your need for what you wanted. This is the result of true forgiveness. And here's a piece of information that took me 35 years to learn. Perception is a construct of the mind. If you are holding a pained perception, the reason you are is because you loaded a goal in your mind that recruited that unconscious pain into your perceptual construct, and that perceptual construct might be about yourself or somebody else, and you found yourself or somebody else to blame. And the genius of this man Yeshua 2,000 years ago, who taught us that goals drive perception. And when you cancel the goal, the pained perception collapsed in on itself and gave you access to what was hidden. If love is present when you access what is hidden, there is a transmutation of energy. It's called forgiveness. And that's how it works. By canceling, Richard, you allowed the file in your mind that kept issues hidden from your awareness to open. When these issues surfaced and were exposed to love, the truth became available to you, and you began to let go, to heal these long-held painful realities. This is how healing looks. You will no longer have to carry these burdens. Your life will change as a result of the process you just went through. I stress as strongly as I can that this is the effect of canceling your need for what you want, which is the key to opening the whole healing process. And this is a tough piece for people to get, but wait a minute, Michael, this is a perfectly good, healthy, wonderful goal that I'm wanting. Yes, I agree with you, but notice when you load it in your mind, you go into pain because the goal is recruiting that pain into activity. You know, you can normally keep it hidden, but here it is moving now in you. When you cancel the goal, the perception constructed out of unconscious painful content is exposed. And when that part of the belief system, that part of the BS, that part of the mind is exposed to acts of present love, then the pain dissolves and you become free. It's so simple. It's a great line in the Course in Miracles. It's so simple, it cannot fail to be completely understood. Rejected, yes, but not ambiguous. And if you reject it, it's because you think that the price is too high. Now, I've got to have this goal. So this is the whole core of the forgiveness process. We're on page 175 in the book. Why is this happening to me again? If you don't have a copy of it, we can't sell you one because we don't have any left. They're out of print. But you can go to Amazon or eBay, and they've got lots of copies always available, used copies for sale. And or you can go to our website and download it free. There is an advanced version of the book that was never put in print. It was only done on an audio format. And so you can order the CDs online on our website, or you can also buy the streaming download of that new version of the book. Richard kind of regained his composure. He's like, where did that come from? I didn't expect such a powerful upheaval. Whew, do I feel relieved? I'm going to think about this for a long, long time. I don't know what to say. I'm a little embarrassed. Sounds like another worksheet, Richard. I support you in letting go of embarrassment. What you just went through is right on target. It's what our culture inhibits us from doing, especially as men. Looking at, feeling, and dealing with the insanity we go through in our lives has warned us not to open Pandora's box. But they did not tell us that if you never open and look into Pandora's box and clean it out, then your whole life becomes Pandora's box, becomes like the content. Can you see how the theme of what you've uncovered has run through your whole life? It has not run through my whole life, Michael. It's run my whole life. That experience and the decisions I made to protect myself from getting hurt again have been the root of every relationship interaction I've ever had. I'm ready to create my life differently. It is safe to love, and I'm going to do it. Nothing can stop me now. Now, of course, I've learned some things since I wrote this book back better than a quarter of a century ago, and recognizing that love is not something we do, and I'm communicating it as though it is, the world's definition, which is the one I had understood way back when I wrote this book. The idea is to recognize that it is safe to be love. And then I offer Richard some feedback. And, you know, this is a lesson in watching your speech. You'll notice, he's like, it's safe to love and I'm going to do it. Nothing can stop me now. And I offer Richard, might I suggest that you look at your words, nothing can stop me now. Recall the discussion about creating out of avoidance? What your words just said is that you're getting ready to do something to stop you. Don't be so literal. That's not what I meant. I know that's what you believe, but your words reflected avoidance, and your words always precede your creations. At this moment, it sounds maybe like I'm being picky, but I'm reflecting back to you what your reality structure is talking about. Where your reality structure, pardon me, is taking you. Your words are the indicator. Words reflect the energies with which we organize our bodies and our world. You've just had a powerful opening, and insight, but there's still work to be done. Might I suggest you rephrase your intention to do something such to something such as, it's safe to be love, and I'm going to do it. Everyone, including myself, supports me in having loving, connected relationships, especially with women, and particularly with my sister. So a whole new possibility is entering Richard's mind. And our offering is that you can't have a new life without a new mind. You know, when they said be transformed by the renewal of your mind, they weren't kidding. Because the mind energy you hold is the key to what and how you create what happens in your world. And so as you observe your words, you will see exactly where your creative process is going. And you get to change it. And instead of Richard creating, you know, after this particular piece of work, creating more of the same by saying nothing's going to stop me, which means a part of his mind is now active that's going to tend to block him. We're inviting him to shift his creative process, to shift his words into what it is that he really wants to do, rather than playing it again. You know, the replicant mind knows how to repeat, 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 and repeat its process. And we're inviting people to move out of the why is this happening to me again mode and move into birthright, which is that of conscious co-creation. How do you really want it to be? Are you willing to be responsible for the fact that it is the way it is at the moment? Are you willing to cancel the goals that drive the process that keep you unconscious? Process through that unconsciousness and shift your words, shift your creative process. And that's the objective of our work here. If you don't have the app, I invite you to go to the App Store on your phone, type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, one word, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. You'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app, the world's first forgiveness app. And what he's done with it is awesome. Take it, put it to work. And if questions come up, you know, there are links right inside the app. You can go right to the show and listen to the archive, or you can come when the show is on live and listen through the app. There's so much that Jeannie has integrated into it. It's just awesome. So, Miss Jeannie, we're about halfway through our hour. Do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
We do not have a hand up. We have a bunch of people out there listening, so someone press one. It puts you right in queue.
Yeah,
and I
let's
do
go
see Roma on, so we do have a hand up. Roma, I just want to say thank you for the beautiful calendar from Hawaii. It is hanging on the wall.
Your intuition, Roma, was right on track because we've been saying, you know, the banks here have stopped giving out calendars. It's like, where are we going to get a calendar? And lo and behold, there's an envelope from you. So thank you for that, for thinking of that, for following that intuition. Appreciate you.
Very much. Thank you. So our caller is 904. I think it's Dusty. You're on the air.
Well, aloha, kid. I hope
aloha.
Everybody's well.
Welcome.
Yes.
We are rocking.
Are you? Yeah, you're about over this COVID nonsense thing?
Yeah, you know, there's still some fatigue to it, and we're being kind of lazy, taking care of ourselves. But yeah, we're on the upside of it. Yesterday, you know, we had communication with the hospital where Dad was, and they told us how he was rocking and doing well, and he'd been up walking around, and he'd gotten off the oxygen they had him on, so we could come pick him up. So yesterday we went to do that, and we got there, and the nurses who brought him down in a wheelchair literally picked him up and put him in the car, saying, well, he can't put any weight on his legs. He can't stand. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean he can't stand? Well, you know, hey, that's not what they told us, and you know, we don't have, you know, to get him in the house, but we'd have to carry him from the car. We'd have to walk him down a set of steps, and then we'd have to carry him to the bathroom every time. You know, we just weren't in a position to be able to do that. So it's like we got a hold of the caseworker, and they rescinded his discharge from the hospital. So he's still there. And it looks
okay.
Like probably he's going to move into physical therapy space to get him back to where he can, you know, get up and around and be here effectively, that we can handle him. He's
okay.
He's 89, but he's still built like a rock. Last week he went down, he fell, and both of us had COVID, and we had a challenge getting him back up on his feet. And it's like, you know, so it looks like they're going to do physical therapy, and hopefully he'll get back on the recovery wagon and be back home and ready to rock. But we're doing well. Thank you for holding the space for us, my friend.
Well, I do. And also, it was interesting. I was spent a lot of time in the ocean. I guess it was last Saturday. And, Jeannie, what's your dad's first name?
It's James or Jim. And it depends. His middle name is Blaine, so it depends on if it's family, they all call him Blaine, and if it's people he worked with or went to church with, they call him Jim. But it's James Blaine.
Okay. Well, Blaine it is for me. For whatever reason, last Saturday, especially for a lot of last Saturday, your dad, he was in my mind a lot. I mean, he was just kind of part of, a little bit integrated in what I was doing.
Sweet.
Yeah, I was amazed. And when that happens, you know, at this point, I've learned to pay attention and try to do something with that. So anyways, I'm glad to hear 89. God bless him. Wow. Nice. Yeah, I hope to be doing handsprings at 89, but we'll see.
You got my support.
Yeah, thanks. By the way, I have to tell you, I was listening. I listened yesterday, too, but, I mean, I listened to some things you were saying earlier as you were talking about what you do. And I'm literally, and I can feel it in my body even, relieved to know that your lives are in this program and work, as you call it, sounds more like play in a way, but yeah, okay, is based on love. And I mean, that just, I can't tell you what that does for me, because this last time I got a glimpse at the bigger picture. It was, love was the kind of the shockwave from beingness that just went out and was the essence of creation, which kind of fits with, oh God, it fits with all kinds of creation stories, including, if I can just dribble on a little longer here, for the third time in a row, I watched a program on the Science Channel on the Big Bang Theory. And they're everybody's going, oh, well, there's particles and expanding and everything happened. And they're looking at it all as matter. And I understand that. And okay, fine. But it's the same it's the same formula as what I saw, except the Big Bang in this case would be love. That's it. And so, you know, it came to me.
The core of it all.
Love first. Yeah, man. And you guys keep saying that. And I've only told one person, I think, that really got it. I said, you know, love first, then dance. Because love of its own impetus likes to create, wants to create something beautiful or whatever it is, and so easy to get lost in the dance, but not if you love first, is my point.
Yeah.
And
I'm
to remember
100%.
That.
We all do.
Well, I'm just relieved. And thank you for that, because most of all of you, anybody involved in this, anybody that is carrying love first, I bow to that in you.
Well, you know, it's interesting to watch people as they try to mentally gyrate and figure out God. And, you know, go back to that ancient text, and it's really simple and straightforward. It says that word which you're trying to figure out is love. That's all. I can remember way back I was actually doing some work with an attorney in St. Louis, and he was pretty high up in the Catholic Church there, and they had introduced two archbishops. They had brought a group of people together and a couple of archbishops in St. Louis to one of my workshops. And afterward, these two archbishops are talking to each other, and they're like, could it be that simple? That God is actually just love? They were like, you know, it was like their minds were like echoing with, how is that possible? Wait a minute, we have this whole intellectual tradition. Could it be that simple? And it's that simple. And when that active presence of love is there, everything heals.
Yeah.
Every tool that we've got is about how do we get to that? All the different ways we have, you know, different minds need different pathways and different explanations and different mechanisms, but it's all the same mechanism. It's all the same thing is how do we get back to where whatever we're hiding from ourselves, we're willing to open up and love is present. That's the transmuter. That's what changes it all. So thanks for keying into it and strengthening the presence of that understanding in the world.
I mean, it's just so nice to have even a smidge of a conversation around this, because it quickens it in me as well. For instance, I'm getting ready here pretty soon to go to the store, the grocery store, and it happens to be tourist time, and it's going to be packed. And I used to go grumble. I mean, a little bit, you know, and I would go late at night and I would get my cart and I'd race around like Parnelli Jones, the race car driver. And now I go and I'm going to go, okay, all these people, most of which are really unconscious right now and not situationally aware, they're talking on their Bluetooth and they're lost looking for what they want. And I understand that. That's okay. But I get to go and just try and just be me, be love, and
be the presence,
be very courteous. Yeah, and that kind of entails to me, if you know that, and I don't want to lay a trip on myself or anybody else, but it kind of entails and I won't say duty quite, but an impetus then to be that, to act from that point rather than kind of know it somehow. And those priests that you're talking about, I think that's funny. That's really good. And they should have just been in Haight-Ashbury on the late 66, because everywhere I went, I kept seeing signs that said, God is love, God is love.
Beatles said it, all you need is love. I mean, it's everywhere. It's become cliche, but the truth is, if we can discover the actual active presence of love in us and bring it forward, it changes everything.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of people, especially guys, it's just a relief to know that's the real core. And if I feel lost in my mind or my life, even a moment, to be able to remember that and stop into that. And again, your program really it helps, gives me a reflecting mirror more. And I really appreciate it.
Well, that's the reason we'd be here, my friend. So thank you for saying thank you.
And, And let's see, have you got any time? Yes. The other day we were talking a little bit about we're almost infinitesimal. And I made some comment about, I think I said, we're about as big as or as important or whatever as on an app, but in a faraway universe or something like that. And yeah, if you get a big picture of things, we're so small and just such as like one grain of sand in the earth, in the oceans wouldn't even float. But at the same time, we're made of love, so we are not junk, no matter how, where we are on the evolution or the consciousness scale. We're still worth something because we're made from love, by golly.
That's it. And one of the thoughts I often offer to people who are feeling small or insignificant or bad or guilty or what have you, it's like, so there's only one requirement to be worthy of functioning as love, and that is you got breath. The Creator put the breath of life in you. Nothing else is required. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, God. I just remembered something. Oh, my goodness. Because, and I thought of your still point, breath, and that kind of thing, but it was about, I don't know, 84, something like that. And I was living out in the high desert, and it was a hot spring, and I stuck my head in the water, and I just wanted to hear what I could hear. I could hear my heart beating, and it scared me. And I went, what?
Mm.
I pulled my head out of the water, and went, the sound of my own heart beat scaring me? And it was. There was a terror involved in it, kind of. And so I stuck my head back in, and I listened, and I went, wow. And I did that over and over, and I tracked. I went, where is that coming from? That's the one thing I should be good with, you know. And, well, I mean, my mother didn't tell me until about 4 years earlier, but when I was about, or at least about the physical side of it, I remembered the other side. I died in the hospital. I mean, I coded. My heart stopped. I quit breathing. My heart stopped. They told her not to bring me back or try to bring me back or whatever. But I had the, to make a long story really short, I can't go into the details, but it was the Christ consciousness of love in this sort of vision, you know, it's not a biological memory, but that they came and saved the day, and I came back to life. But I think that's where I tracked that to, was my heart stopped. So now it's not an issue at all. But
you had to process through that fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be willing
yeah.
to track it. I really was. I felt like Sherlock Holmes there for a while. I was like, okay, where is that coming from? How could that be, you know?
Mm. Good piece of work.
Man.
And, you know, that's a true statement, too. I hadn't thought of it that way. But as people do their work, it really is like playing Sherlock Holmes. And you really need to look carefully at all of the energetic patterns and all of the dynamics to touch into, to understand, to discover what the unconscious dynamic is that needs healing.
Right.
And so it really is
about
developing that.
Right. And that really kind of starts with the mindset of wanting to know. And what I'm finding, and I hate to say it, and I don't want to be a drag, but the majority of people I run into either don't want to know or don't know that they can know or whatever. Even if they're nice people, they don't particularly, I found few that really know of the inner processes and inner work and are really about that consciousness. And it's a relief. That's one reason why you feel it's such a relief. This,
I'm with you. The, I got it.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, well, it's all good, and I guess. And here's something. I heard a quote by George Washington Carver.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and he said, and I loved it, he said, I will not let another to so defile my soul as to hate.
As to cause me to hate him. Yeah. It's one of my favorite George Washington Carver sayings. That's like, and when you think about a black man in the South back in those days, what he must have gone through, and to have that clarity of mind, that kind of genius that he, I mean, you know, I don't think we can even fathom what a man, a black man in the South back then went through, but to come up with that is just such a gem of a human being. It's just profoundly powerful, impactful.
Yes, and I thought about what you just said a lot and earlier, and it occurred to me that to really be something, which is what he wanted to be, he wanted to be all he could be, he would have to, in his case, or all of us really, but you could see why it would be so intensely important in his case, he had to come to this. Because if he hated, he was lost. He couldn't be anything else. I mean, he couldn't.
We'd have never heard of him.
Couldn't cheat.
Yep.
Yeah. And so. Yep. And he would have died early. I would have.
And he literally spawned a whole industry.
Yeah.
His genius spawned a whole industry.
Yeah, right. Was it some kind of it was some kind of a peanut thing, was it?
It was peanuts. I mean, he my understanding is what he said he did is he asked the peanut what it was for, and he started to create all of these things out of peanut oil and out of peanuts. He created the whole industry by literally asking the peanut what it was for.
Wow. Wow, that's a good one to remember. Yeah. Ask it what it was for.
The peanut.
Yeah. I mean, that's big enough for in my life right now that I'm having to jot that down. Just hold on. I'm sorry. I'm just asked. Yeah.
Pretty powerful when you think about it.
Well, yeah.
We've never heard of.
I mean, you can apply that to. This is like a little a key. It's a key that ask the peanut or whatever it is, what it's for, and that's like a key or a.
Maybe maybe we could create that and make a famous quote of it: "Ask and you will receive." And we could even add to it: we could say, "Knock and it will be open to you." Or we could add seek and you will find. Who knows what we could create with that one?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, well, I can't imagine where you came up with that. But who knows?
Who has more fun than humans?
Well, and that's another thing about the humans. It's like everything I see if I watch TV in the evening to kind of wind down, and if there's something on the Science Channel I want to see, I will. Mostly all they want to do is talk about their latest satellites, which is fun to a point. I just had another thought and I derailed myself here. I'm sorry.
Opening the creative process.
Yeah, but what it's for? I'm going to kind of take that around with me for a while, and because this is worded in such a way or Carver worded it, and you rephrased it in your language. It's like whatever it is, that is just, I don't know, for me, that's just a great little tool to go around and go, no, wait, let's see, should have that one before. Because I know where I was
your
going.
Your exploration's in the ocean.
Yes, oh yeah, in
powerful.
The ocean, and even in the humans, and I have had a real issue, I would see programs, and every environmental program, in fact, when I was fighting for the last wilderness, we actually had the last wilderness on the East Coast, on the ocean front. It was huge. I'd been hiking in there for like 40 years, in and out. It was just a magical, magical place where the spirit of wildness was still alive.
Right.
And I was a part of the group that was trying to save it, and the group folded because they knew it. Anyways, I was the last guy standing, and I remember I went to a public hearing at the court, planning and zoning, and they're actually the
right.
judge and an executioner almost in for anything that's non-human, and in the crowd, maybe 20% of the people wanted to save the track. The rest of them were realtors and developers, and they wanted to try.
We want a buck.
Yep.
Greed.
And so I signed up to speak, and here's this packed room. I mean, it's probably, I didn't even know you could get that many people in that room. It was like two, three, at least there's probably a couple hundred people. And everybody that had spoke pro, save the wilderness, all said, oh, we got to save it for the future generations. I got to save it for my grandkids. It was all anthropocentric. I mean, it was. And I appreciated
right.
that sentiment, but I got up there and I said, you know what, folks? The wildness, the critters in that tract deserve to exist for their own sake.
Right, yeah.
And it went, whoosh, and I bet two or three people in that whole room really lit up. That was it. And it's like I keep hearing this stuff, and people keep talking about it as if humans are the only species out of, I think, what is there, 3 million or something on the planet? And it's all of the creation, all of it counts.
Yep.
Yeah. And I guess part of my role in this life is to try to understand that and love those parts that are not human as well, if I can. Those are easy. It's the humans that are harder.
Yeah, I love humanity. It's the people that bother me.
Yeah. Well, I remember in Idaho, this really good old boy. I mean, he was so far right politically that you couldn't even see left on the horizon. You couldn't even see the center on the horizon. And he was loading up his little 410 pocket pistol. I mean, he had a shotgun shell and a pocket pistol. But I liked the guy. He was character, and he had a little a trailer park right there. And I noticed somebody came out the door with one of these little dogs, little lap dogs.
Got about 30 seconds.
Okay. Anyways, I said, do the dogs bother you? And he says, no, it's not the dogs. It's the people that have them.
It's the people that bother me. All right, my friend. Well, you have a blessed day. Everybody, thank you for joining us. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Happy holy days and blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.